So let me start off by saying I know nothing about oral health care. This is actually a project that Annie Ware, she is really the primary person who spearheaded this. And I really tried to get her to present the work, but she is in dental school and couldn't get away. So I'm going to talk about the impact of mental health problems on self-perceived oral health care. We don't have any financial or other interests. I changed the word to interest because when I read it, it says, Ms. Ware and I have no financial or other relationships. And I didn't think my wife would appreciate that, so we have no financial interests. And I want to acknowledge both the Office of Undergraduate Research at the University of South Florida, who provided some funds to Annie to do her work, and also the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration that was partially funded the original data collection. This was a secondary data analysis. So in terms of background, what we know nationally is about 1 in 5 individuals have untreated dental needs, and that the first ever Surgeon General report on oral health care in America, which wasn't until 2000, by the way, I was surprised that it was actually later than the mental health Surgeon General's report, characterized oral health disease as the silent epidemic, and really sort of emphasize this notion that it's cumulative, it's progressive, and it has increasing complexity. The report further goes on to stress how oral health care issues actually impact the quality of life, people's economic ability, their ability to work. So it has a far-reaching impact that we might not necessarily recognize. If we look at the Healthy People 2020 and we look at a lot of the indicators, oral health care is actually prominently featured as a way of improving the foundations for prevention across a wide variety of other kinds of illnesses. And the literature also suggests that there's some evidence that persons who've been diagnosed with mental illness are more vulnerable to oral health care needs than individuals who don't have mental health issues. And given this, there's been a call on the literature to sort of learn more about this and start to think and incorporate a response to individuals' oral health care needs. So the goal of this study was to estimate the prevalence of self-perceived oral health needs and service use among a Medicaid-enrolled adult population in Florida, and contrast those that had mental health needs with those that did not have mental health needs. The second sort of aim of the study was to look and identify demographic and clinical factors that were predictive of self-reported oral, dental needs. So the data that we used for this was a secondary data analysis of 1,700 approximately Medicaid adults, and then we define adults as 21 and over, and that's due to the differences in the service array that individuals younger than 21 have access to, who responded to a survey that we've conducted out of our bureau, the Florida Health Services Survey, we call it, from 2000 to 2005. So these are older data. And I'll just tell you up front that the overall response rate to this survey is about 24%. It varied from year, and it varies from subpopulation, but overall it's about a 24% response rate. The Florida Health Services Survey incorporates a number of previously developed and validated measures. So, for example, for physical health, we use the SF-12 as a sort of a screen. For mental health, we use the Colorado Symptom Index. For substance abuse, we used a simple screening instrument for substance abuse that was developed by SAMHSA, or put together by a group spearheaded by SAMHSA. In terms of analysis, we used individual responses to the various status measures to either indicate that they had a physical health problem or didn't have a physical health problem. We dichotomized all these variables, or whether they had a mental health problem or didn't have a mental health problem. But we did some imputation for some missing data. There wasn't a huge amount of missing data, but we did some imputation. We dichotomized all the predictors, and Annie did a bunch of bivariate analyses, which I'm not going to show, but the primary analysis that I want to present today is a binary logistic regression that we used to develop a prediction model to see which predictors were associated with the self-reported dental needs. So just highlighting once again what the two questions were. One was to identify the prevalence of self-perceived oral health needs and service use among the Medicaid enrollees and contrast that among individuals with and without mental health problems. And then to use demographic and clinical factors to develop a prediction model to predict the likelihood of reporting self-perceived oral health needs. This is just a demographic slide. I know it's busy. Let me just point out a few things for you. We had more women respondents relative to the population. So women were overrepresented. Whites were overrepresented. Individuals who were receiving Medicaid because of SSI were overrepresented among our respondents, and they tended to be older. And all of those four characteristics, there was significant difference between respondents and non-respondents. So that's an issue, obviously, for generalizability. So what did we find? Well, in terms of the overall responses of all the individuals, approximately 51% of the individuals reported having some oral health need in the previous year. When we look at the reported service use, approximately 31% of the respondents reported they had used some dental services. We calculated this unmet need, which was those who said they had a need that didn't use services. That came out to be 22%. There's a little slippage there between the 51 and 31%, but it's about 22%, and that was due to some missing data. When we contrasted the individuals who had mental health issues relative to those that didn't, in terms of their dental needs, use, and unmet needs, you can see the graphs. The black bar is individuals who had a mental health need based on the Colorado Symptom Index. No significant differences on any of those between those two groups. So unlike some of the prior research that sort of suggested individuals with mental health needs were more vulnerable or more likely to have needs relative to persons who didn't have mental illnesses, we didn't find that. Likewise, no significant difference in their access to services that they said they received. And ultimately, the unmet need piece was was exactly the same, just about for the two things. In terms of the logistic regression, we had six demographic factors that included age, gender, racial ethnic group, whether they were married or not, education, and employment. We found two of the demographic factors were significantly associated with an increased likelihood, well, with a likelihood of reporting dental needs. Being over 45 actually reduced the likelihood of reporting dental need in the prior year. And having a higher than high school education increased the likelihood of reporting oral health needs. In terms of the clinical factors, being in poor health, having a substance abuse problem, or having more functional needs increased the likelihood that someone would report having oral health needs, while receiving SSI actually decreased the likelihood that someone would report having oral health needs. So what does this mean? Well, first of all, our findings are somewhat contrary to some of the findings that we found before in terms of individuals with mental health needs being more likely to have oral health needs. We didn't find that. Now, when we did some subsequent analyses, we found that respondents that were classified as having mental health problems, they were significantly more likely to be receiving SSI, and that also decreased the likelihood. So there may be an interaction effect that we need to sort of put in, so that's where the next analysis needs to go. We also found that given the oral health diseases are linked in a systemic disease, it really wasn't surprising to us based on the literature that being in poor physical health or having a substance abuse problem was associated with an increased likelihood of reporting dental needs. And once again, here subsequent analysis found that functional needs were also significantly associated with poor health and substance abuse problems. And so that may have been also partially explained, maybe some interaction effect there in terms of increased likelihood of oral health needs. And then respondents receiving SSI, why they might actually have a decreased likelihood, it could be because they're more connected to the system. If they have some type of disability, they're receiving care in a more continuity or more continuous care, the oral health needs that they have may be more likely to be picked up and subsequently responded to, even though they're not getting it through Medicaid. We did another piece where we actually went and got the administrative data and looked at the dental services and costs that folks had, that and there's very little services in Florida paid through Medicaid in Florida. Obviously, lots of limitations. This is cross-sectional also, that was mentioned before. respondents' clinical status, we sort of based on cutoff points of self-report. These are not really clinical judgments, so there's probably some errors in terms of classification there. The characteristics of respondents I mentioned before significantly differ from those who didn't respond, so there's a generalizability issue, even to the Florida Medicaid population. And then our imputation, obviously, we never really know exactly what impact that has, but that could have increased some of our error. Sort of in conclusion, I think, you know, we found that about 22% of our respondents had unmet oral health needs. And that's pretty consistent with the 1 in 5 that's found in the literature. So it was surprising to me, actually, that within a Medicaid population, we didn't actually find that to be higher than more a general population in which some of those other studies were done. And then finally, you know, surprisingly to us, we didn't find that mental health needs were associated with an increased likelihood of reporting oral health needs. So the references, if you want any more information on it, certainly folks can get a hold of us. And I would echo Jeannie's comments. If you're not part of the mental health section, at least stop by the booth tomorrow. It's 1425. I'll be there, and maybe we could convince you to join. So thanks for listening.